What are the ways in which the voices in Ferguson, Missouri begin to regain the trust that has been lost in the violence over the past year and the latest violence over the past week? There are rituals of news conferences and statements of political leaders that are one narrative.
You know, I think that what had been happening in Ferguson was oppressive and objectionable and was worthy of protest. But there was no excuse for criminal acts. And whoever fired those shots shouldn't detract from the issue. They're criminals.
President Obama referring to the shootings of two officers this week that have complicated affairs and complicated the details in Ferguson, which we're going to talk about. These carefully measured statements of political leaders are just part of the process of reconciliation. Criminal investigations, while crucial, are also just a piece of the puzzle. There's a school of thought that in communities of violence and social unrest, there is a mechanism of theater to be brought to bear. The acting out of passions and anger in a safe, honest place where people get to air their grievances, a process of theater called theater of the oppressed, which actually uses theater to face the hard questions between peoples. It's a famous doctrine created by the legendary Brazilian dissident and artist and director, the late Augusto Boal. Here he is speaking back in 2009.
We believe that all relationship between humans should be a dialogue on nature. We should have the moment in which we listen to the other and the moment in which we speak. But we know that between men and women, between blacks and whites, between North Hemisphere countries and South Hemisphere, all those dialogues, they become very soon a monologue in which only men speak, only whites speak, and then we want to reestablish the dialogue. We want to have the right also to say our words. That's what we mean, us, the oppressed.
A theater of the oppressed. Can theater bring a dialogue back into a productive, healthy exchange between people who have strong disagreements in a community like Ferguson? We can see it in Ferguson in the clergy speaking from the pulpit, and community activists speaking from the soapbox, and people literally creating theater pieces to tell the stories of what has happened during the shooting of Michael Brown and the months afterward in Ferguson, Missouri. Joining us now is Cecilia Nadal, executive director of He Tana Productions, an arts and education organization in St. Louis with a theater piece that opens in May. Cecilia, welcome to The Takeaway.
I'm pleased to be here.
And Willis Johnson is a pastor at Ferguson's Wellspring Church who has certainly been using the narrative of Ferguson every Sunday in his church. Willis, welcome back to the show.
Thank you.
How do you think the ideas of theater, of creating safe places for people to speak their minds, to play characters of the oppressed, how does that help people to understand what's going on in their community? Willis?
As you've mentioned before, it allows for voice to be raised and heard. It allows for the personal exploration of self. Ultimately, we are trying to not only discern, and particularly in instances of trauma, rediscover our authentic self. And so this kind of exercise of exploration and expression to the other, in being able to not only identify and discover and discern, but then to display or to interpret to others fully the feeling, the emotion, the embodiment of the authentic self or the projected self in either case is an awesome thing. It's a welcome. It's a necessary and almost therapeutic gift.
Can you describe an example of where you've gotten from monologue to dialogue in some of your work there in the Wellspring Church?
Well, obviously, you know, I have a unique privilege to stand before, and yet an unusual challenge to kind of represent the interests and agency and authority that is beyond myself, and to speak with that authority and to speak in translation of ancient texts and in relationship to modern reality. And so the sermonic expression and opportunity is very much perceived to be a monologue, but really it's a dialogue with scripture and people. And then ultimately that leads from that moment into the carryover, raising question and allowing people to engage in that in their own way, in their own space. At the same time, we reconvene and reconfigure for that kind of debriefing later in the week through different teachings, small groups, gatherings. But that monologue, that moment of monologue directs and leads, hopefully, people into further conversation and reflection.
talking with Willis Johnson, pastor at Ferguson's Wellspring Church in Ferguson, Missouri. This is The Takeaway. So, Cecilia Nadal, your show, Black and Blue, opens in May. Tell me what it's about and how theater empowers people to speak their mind.
Well, let me start with our process, because that is as important as the show itself. I was a participant for almost 15 days in the protest as soon as they started. And we tried to figure out, while out there and being a part of the protest, what is the way that our organization, which has a mission of healing, what is the way that we can contribute to this issue? And it was very clear to me that the energy of the protest and the fight for justice was a kind of energy where reflection was very important. So the first step we took in the process was to invite members of the protest community to be a part of a storytelling drama class at Greater St. Mark's Church. We asked them to come with the premise of, let's just talk about what you're thinking about, let's talk about what's important to you, and what are the issues. Getting out of the energy of the protests to reflection. And so for 8 weeks, we worked with protesters telling their stories, talking about where they were before the protest, what happened during the protest, and where did they see their lives going after the protest. That process allowed for an internal dialogue for the people who were there, where they could really think about not just what happened and what they did, but where it was all going. And that proved to be very important. The next step in the process was to think about the other side, so to speak. What are the issues that police face when they are dealing with confrontation? What are the institutional issues that put police in the position of sometimes making really bad decisions? So we did things like role play, and the protesters had to step into that role to figure out what happened to police officers when they are in the moment of defending themselves, if it is a defense. As we did the class, we asked for Lee Patton Childs to come on to write the play. What she uses is something called verbatim theater. And that's a process where you talk to people, you hear their words, and you incorporate those words into the play.
Well, you describe exactly the mission of Theater of the Oppressed, of having the complexity of the real feelings that people have in a situation like this, have that complexity be reassuring. It allows people to feel as though their voices are heard. Any sort of comments, Willis Johnson, about this process of dialogue using theater, as skilled as you are from the pulpit?
You know, that is really not only the context for the preaching, but it really harkens to the tradition of the prophet from the 8th century into even the modern era, where we like to reflect on King and others. This idea that we want to lift voice, lift every voice, and give the fullest measure of expression, human expression, with this kind of almost divine, mystic, deep, soulful kind of understanding is very much in line of the prophets. And so whether it's King's elaboration on such, where he talks about that riot is the expression of the voice for the voiceless, we now have the unique design of using whatever discipline and a means that we think is best to begin to share ourself and our authentic self and raise up not only consciousness, but hopefully our humanity, and have it presented in a space, whether that's from the church and in community there, or in through community and expressive theater. People can find a way to connect and have translation.
Well, I'm hearing a hopeful message from both of you. Am I getting that wrong, Cecilia and Willis?
No, you're not getting that wrong. I am very hopeful. I'd like to respond to something that Pastor said, which is right on, and that is this issue of not just looking at the other point of view, but also understanding that we're connected through our humanity. I think that's a very important point. And it's the point from which we can get to things that are complex. Let me give you an example. We had two police officers who were shot recently in Ferguson. Thank God they were not killed. And we are very touched by that. One officer from Webster, another one from St. Louis County. And they were just trying to help out. And some one person, two people, whoever it was, did this madness to hurt those two individuals. Now, as I have listened to the news media across the country, you hear constantly the violence in Ferguson was such that now we really wonder whether the protests are going in the right direction, blah, 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 blah. Very simplistic thinking, not critical thinking. The fact is that with the protest in Ferguson, there has been less violence than proportionately than regular crime on the streets. The news media does not get to that complexity, and we can do that in theater. We can talk about issues that seem to be simple, and we can get to the complexity in such a way that people are more informed and much better able to look at why they take the position that they take. We are so polarized in St. Louis that if we don't have that moment in which we can steep into complexity and ferret out what's important and what is not, we cannot get to healing.
Cecilia Nadal is executive director of Hitana Productions, an arts and education organization in St. Louis, and Willis Johnson is pastor at Ferguson's Wellspring Church. Thanks to both of you.
Thank you.
Thank you.